Hello, welcome to another episode of Espresso Tech Sips. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Thank you for joining. I am deep diving into the topic of disagreeing nicely. And ironic, this actually would apply whether you're talking about personal or professional, but in particularly I'm focusing on professionally, but there may be some things that I say that hit home, even when we disagree personally. Sometimes some of us aren't good at disagreeing, and it gets personal. But that's something that you absolutely have to look out at work, because what you're doing is you're going down a very dangerous slope. And no one wants to end up in the principal's office or in HR because we've let something get too personal. And usually that occurs because we've let our emotions get the best of us. And so you have to be able to check yourself. And especially, I don't know if I would say that it's harder when you're in the virtual world, but I do know that sometimes in the virtual world, it lends itself to misinterpretation and misunderstanding. So you do have to watch just even your inflection and your tone or your word choice, for the simple fact you can't read someone else's body language. You can't read how they receive it, and you know, immediately course correct, because so many times we're just talking over Zoom or over the phone or even in text, especially when it comes down to text. And sometimes your fingers get to flying and hitting the reply button just way too soon. So you absolutely, you know, have to be mindful of your filters. Now, and that's actually where this topic spawned from. I've got a new video on our YouTube channel. Don't know how many of you know that we also have a YouTube channel. Check out some of the links on the Blog Talk Radio in the description, and we'll share our other resources. But our latest video was on just the new etiquette, the new norm, as far as Zoom etiquette, the ever important part of having a high performing team is building trust. And when communication breaks down, along with it goes trust. And when you have a trained team where there's a lot of mistrust, you're obviously going to have, whether you want to call it dysfunction or misalignment. And something that I've really been honing in on, there is no success in Agile if you don't have alignment. So let's talk about this particular topic, disagreeing nicely. And I think that I bring up these topics so that teams will go back and carve out some time to talk to each other about how good are we as a team at disagreeing. That's the name of your topic. How good are we as a team at disagreeing? The perfect time to have these conversations, especially in our world of Agile, is during a retrospective. Make a retrospective. Make that the focus, instead of it just being your regular what went well and what didn't. You know, the cumulative effects. Let's talk about the cumulative effects of how we communicate when we're not all in agreement. And the reality is a team is only as good as, or they're only as aligned, can only be judged when you're not in agreement. I don't care how you all act when you go out for drinks or when you are having, you know, a fun team building exercise and everybody's laughing, or during the kickoff where everybody is bright eyed and excited. I need to know, how are you all going to operate and address things when you're not in agreement? And this is why teams need working agreements. Working agreements are important when things are tense, when the tensions are high. And let's just be honest with each other, it's going to happen. We can get along in the beginning great, but there's going to be a time where the rubber meets the road and there's frustration, or just some type of, just we get to the point where we rub each other wrong. And what's important is that you have some things built into your team norms that, number one, we can address those situations. Let's be honest and transparent, and let's be candid about those situations. Too many times I see teams play nice. In no matter what tension is going on, you play nice, because you don't want to, you don't know how to call something out without, or with the fear of it even escalating more. And so this kind of veneer of getting along is really motivated by fear. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to be the bad guy. If whether you say it out loud or it's going through your head, then you've got false harmony. And that's actually the term, false harmony. I go in, I observe teams, and that will definitely get me some ugly looks when I tell a team, I just feel a sense of false harmony. You're faking it. Because, and this is the tips that I want to bring to you all, you should be able to disagree. And even a disagreement, that's kind of strong. You should be able to have a variety of opinions. And that's what they are. What I often find is when people feel like what they're stating is the facts and the source of truth and the only source of truth, that's when it feels like it's a disagreement. When we talk about the word disagreement, you then get into who's right and who's wrong, or who's going to win this conversation, or who's going to lose in this conversation. That's when it feels like a disagreement. That's very different than people feeling everybody has a right to put in their opinion from their perspective. But that idea that it's your opinion and your perspective, and it may be a form of a truth under certain characteristics. And that's something that sometimes people grapple with, that even though it's your experience and it's 100% true in your experience, doesn't mean it's the truth in this very moment. Perfect scenario is when people come from another company and they have an experience, and specifically I see this all the time with Agile. I've experienced Agile this way, so this must be the only truth. And then come into a new team and speak as if from a authoritative manner that it should be done this way. If anyone doesn't see that as the final truth, then we have a disagreement, because I'm right and you're wrong, versus coming at it at, this was my experience during that time with this group of people. You're now with a new group of people. Your way or perspective or opinion may or may not apply exactly the way it applied in your last. So there are different degrees of truth under a particular circumstance. And what we need is everyone, I love this quote, everyone needs to be fully committed to trying to understand someone else's perspective in the same way you want them to understand your perspective. Because that's when you get into the back and forth, when you're working so hard to try to force people to understand your perspective, and yet you're not investing any energy in trying to understand them. So the whole act of being a part of the team, and you'll hear me say this over and over when it comes to the alignment, is making sure that you're not being selfish in how you're approaching things. Okay, so I'm just going to give you, I've got a list here of about 20 different things that should be taken into consideration, both, and some of these need to be underscored and emphasized by the facilitator, but also every participant in the conversation also need to take these things that I'm about to say into consideration, because everyone on the team, when we talk about empowerment, should be empowered to say to other team members, time out, whoa, that was out of line, maybe we're taking it too far, let's pull back a little bit. All of that, that the ideal of facilitation, is owned by everyone on the team, especially when you see someone violating your team rules, taking things too far, too personal. Versus, again, if everybody keeps their mouth shut and lets things play out, and or has the attitude that, well, if the facilitator doesn't say anything, I'm not going to say anything. You're a team member. You also control the culture and environment. So when you write team rules, you all are agreeing that I'm going to help be part of the accountability and enforcement of these rules. Okay? So let me take you through some different points about disagreeing nicely. There used to be called something about fair fighting. And you can take each one of these, and it's a discussion point within your team. You can even do it as a thumbs up, thumbs down. How many of you think that this particular statement should be in our working agreement? Just to remind us, when there's friction, we can go back to that working agreement and say, you know what, rule number 6, it feels like we kind of fractured, or we stepped on, or we just violated that, and we need to recalibrate as a team and remind ourselves that we're going to hold to these rules. And if you, in self-accountability, know that you've broken one of these rules, then you owe an apology to your team. And that should be something that should be much more common and practiced, because it's you saying out loud to your team that in the moment, I made a mistake. And we need to be honest when we make mistakes. That's part of being on a team, that transparency, being vulnerable. Say it. And it also tells us that we recognize that maybe every now and then we slip up, but we're not going to ignore the culture that we set out saying was our team norm. We're not just by going to ignore those exceptions, because next the exceptions become acceptable, and that's what we don't want to do. So let me run through a few in the time we have left. Number one, the team has, thumbs up, thumbs down. We don't have to agree. We need to set out by saying we do not have to agree, but we do have to work together, and we do have to align. And there are times putting the facts on the table You just have to, at some point, accept the lesser of two evils. That you, especially in our world of software development, software delivery, as much as we think we know the facts and try to predict how something's going to go, there's always surprises once you get into execution, once you get into implementation. So everything that we do and everything that we put out there, idea-wise, are hypotheses. And that's so important that if teams realize that what you're saying, I don't care if you have 20 years experience and I have 2 years of experience, there are hypotheses until we're actually in the throes of implementing it and then can look back. And with that said, that's why, number two, sometimes it's like, let's test it. Let's put it out there for a test. Let's do a quick prototype. Option A, option B. Collect some more information and then bring that information back to the table if you have that opportunity. But don't just get in and throw words back and forth. Let's put the power of prototyping and proof of concept into quickly executing to get us closer to alignment. Okay? The other one is just a mindset of let's try it. It's not a matter, sometimes you just want to, of the two options that maybe you don't agree on, pick the one that is the higher risk. It's okay, try it. That's very much an agile mentality, especially when we talk about innovation and breakthrough. Don't try the trying true. So many times people try to argue, well, here's the facts, and I know for a fact, and then it's a fact that we did it this way in the past. And that's definitely a dangerous road to go down. Just because there's history, and that history, something went wrong when you did it 5-10 years ago, sometimes you've got to say, let's try again. Let's try again. Maybe there's some new ingredient we put into it. Maybe it has to do with timing. Maybe it has to do with the configuration of the team, the environment. So many different things can come into play. But have an idea, have a mindset as a team that sometimes let's take the riskier route. Sometimes that might be, even product management might be the ones that need to be convinced. It's okay to take the riskier route. We as a team are going to pull together, and if it doesn't work, we'll recognize that and we'll pivot. And that's probably the next key word here is that in Agile, you try something, you time box it, you give it a period of time, and then you evaluate what you've learned, what we always say, learn fast or fail fast, and then pivot. Don't get too anxious. You sometimes have to let things play out. Even when we talk about processes, implementing processes, you can't change every sprint how you work as a team. You got to let it play out for one or two or three sprints, and then decide, hey, you know what? We've given it a good ample time to see how it was going to play out. Let's pivot. Let's do some variation. And that pivot does not have to be a hard pivot. It can just be, okay, well, let's tweak this, but continue down this path. It doesn't mean abandon and retreat. It means continue to hone that. And so if you see those decisions, even those sticky decisions or those decisions that didn't get wholesale support, see each one of them as an experiment, a hypothesis. And sometimes just make the call. It's better to do something, even if it's risky, even if it's not foolproof, than to do nothing and let the opportunity escape us. So those are some things to take into consideration. It's about not agreeing, but still finding a way to align, to move forward. So you continue your momentum, continue your growth, your learning, and you're learning from your failures. So wrap that all up. Take that away for a upcoming discussion at one of your next retrospectives. And hey, if you get a chance, send us some feedback, some comments. Let us know how those conversations go among your teams. But that's all for today. Again, I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.